It'll be the world's best barracker, really. That's sort of all we can do. In a funny way, I'm so pleased that the two teams are playing each other, even though obviously I'm very much on the Richmond boys' side. I've got a couple of sons who actually started barracking for Geelong, and they matured barracking for them, so they still are. So I don't know whether I'll be on my own or not.
And Neil Barham, footy manager of the Tigers, obviously spent a lot of years at the Cats building that dynasty as well for the Geelong Football Club. But he's very much focused on the yellow and black on Saturday night. We'll see what Brad Johnson's thinking about that game shortly. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Jono.
Good morning, Harv. Good morning, Whitey. How are you guys?
Now, we're going very well. We're going very well. We'll get to footy because we love footy and we know that you're a legend of the game. But for detailed form guides and to watch every Victorian Greyhound race live and free, Jono, simply download the Watchdog app or follow Watchdog Racing on Twitter or Facebook. Now, if I was to follow Watchdog Racing today on Twitter or Facebook or download the app, would I see the king in action? The king of swing?
Now, Harf, I've got a bit of an issue here because when every time, the last couple of times I've spoken about the king on air with you guys, he hasn't gone that well. So the other owners are officially banning me from talking about the king of swing and when he's running next.
You've been muzzled.
I've been muzzled, but... You know, I'm a rebel, Harf. You know, I like to, like, not, I don't play in the lanes. I step outside the lanes. So let's go hard because the king of swing is in tonight. Yes, he's a Thursday night special. We know that. And look, he's racing at Sandown. And his last start, it was a big final. And he did have box six. And he did get sort of belted around a little bit. It didn't suit him, suit him box six. Otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking to you if he won that final. I'd be in Vegas now, holidaying on the back of the king. But seriously, he's in again tonight. He's a good chance. He's got a good box in a race that should suit him. The favourite's outside him, so if he can get a good start, he'll be well and truly in the mix come the finish line.
All right, well, I've seen it. I've just checked it down, Whitey. Race 10, number 3, and paying $3 too in the early markets at the tab. They're never holidays.
He's got the vernacular too, just a favourite outside him. He knows. He's not just an owner. He's an aficionado.
I've learned a lot the last few years, Whitey, that's for sure. But anyway, that's okay. We've been involved for quite a while now, so you sort of start to learn and understand the text messages that come through from the trainer and owner just to see other owners where we're at.
Well, you'd learn quickly because they run every week.
Yes, they do. So, and that's the thing. Like we're pretty chilled, to be honest with you. And the king's looked after really well. He's treated like a king, which is the way it should be. And he's ready to go. He's primed again to get back out there and get amongst it. And we just hope that he jumps out straight and away we go, because he's one of his first ever starts. He did come out backwards, so we do have our concerns at times for the king.
That is a concern when you're investing your hard-earned to see the dog come out backwards and know he's got a history of that, Jono. That is a big concern. It's quite a remarkable dog, the king, because he's 12 runs into his spell. Like he's been spelling and still running. Like he's a remarkable dog.
He has had a couple of weeks off in that period. It's sort of like, you know, a home and away season, Harf, where you've got to look after your star, and you might give him a week off here and there just to freshen up to get going again. But as I said, that's in the hands of the trainer. They do look after him really, really well. We make sure of that, of course, and we just wrap that he's out and he's fit and he's healthy, because early on he had a few injuries and took him a while to get going. So we're wrapped that he's just really fit at the moment and a healthy dog, and he's racing really well.
My word. Love it. Love it. Love the King of Swing. Race 10, number 3 tonight at Sandown Park for the Greyhounds.
You might love him, Harf, but Whitey's wife isn't too pleased with the King, so we've got to get that. We've got to change that. That is killing my mind, Whitey. That is really hurting me mentally, the fact that someone's disappointed with the King. We've got to change that.
Don't worry. I'm in just as much trouble for saying on the radio that she was betting on dogs while she was preparing the dinner.
It can happen. It can happen. Hey, Jono, it's grand final week. And I imagine it's very different for a media personality like you when you haven't got any functions, no cashies, Jono. There's a hit to the hip pockets. What's going on?
Oh, not for me, Harp. You know, not winning one, mate. Grand final week, there's not too many functions out there, so that's okay. We can talk footy and we just, you know, obviously I love this time of year, and I know that, you know, even when I was playing, I'd still embrace grand final week. It's something that I've always loved as a kid. We used to have the parties when I was younger, you know, in Hoppers Crossing, and all the family and friends would come over, and it'd just be a massive build up all week for us in our household. So that's something that I've tried to obviously continue on with my kids and that sort of stuff. Just the love of Grand Final week and what it all means for everyone. Even if you're not involved, if your team's not involved in that particular week, you can still embrace it and appreciate what it is. So that's what we're doing again, although it's a little bit different this year, but we can't wait for Saturday night to come about. It's a new spectacle, something different and absolutely, it's going to be a cracking game, isn't it? The two teams, it's a 50-50 split again, and it really could go either way. So it's going to be an absolute cracker. And the build-up, although we're not doing functions and those sort of things, it's still pretty cool. Still can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's still Grand Final week, and we've got Nathan Broad coming up later on, which we're looking forward to chatting to. And you're right, from a game perspective, purely from a tactic and strategy perspective, like there's not too many games you'd prefer to watch, I wouldn't think, for a season decider, because they're so contrasting, Jono. They're so different, these two teams, which makes this a very, very interesting affair.
Yeah, it does. And when you look at the Cats over the last couple of weeks, they've started to play on a little bit more. They can control the ball by foot and they can kick it around, especially out of their back half and have control in their game. But the last couple of weeks, they've just got it and gone. So it would be interesting to see if they continue that approach in the GF. And I hope they do, because it actually suits them as a footy club. It suits their team. It suits the way they want to move the ball with a bit of speed. It allows their forwards to get in some really good spots to compete well from about 60 out. So That movement is critical, and that's been a shift, because the last couple of years they've been controlled and they haven't made the grand final. This year they've been quicker with their play on, especially from marks, especially from probably half back, and that's allowed them to really dominate the opposition. So we'll wait and see whether Richmond allow them to do that. I think one of the 1%ers for the Tigers will be man the mark with intent and make sure you don't allow the Cats to move it quickly.
So, Jono, how much do we read into last time that they played? It's been a question I've asked a few people this week. Obviously, Richmond were dominant. Geelong went in as favourites that particular day, and because they'd been playing such great football, but had come off a short break, and Richmond just owned them, particularly for those first three quarters. Geelong couldn't score. Does that get factored in, or the fact that it's at a different ground and Geelong could have learnt so much from that it won't happen again? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, look, they will look back at aspects of that. I think that's just the natural way of doing things, to see what went well and what didn't, particularly in Geelong's favour as well, talking about them at the moment. So, yeah, they'll have a look back, but I think they're playing different footy. And you're right, that period of the season was a period where you had sort of a lot of teams in the competition that were actually, you know, having a bad game here and there through about a 2 or 3 week period. And Geelong were just one of those. So I think that was the straighten up game for the Cats over the season. And we know how much they love playing at the Gabba this year. Their winning margin is huge. They're 5-0 there. So they walk in with a different mindset against the Tigers, playing them at the Gabba, no doubt.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating part of it. And we saw the way that Geelong broke down Brisbane and Collingwood with their foot skills. Time and space is not necessarily what they need, but they use the width so well, Jono. One thing that Jimmy's been on about for the last couple of weeks too is that they are moving the ball quickly. He's identified that, like you have. They're moving it quickly, but it's not necessarily goal to goal. Like, they're just keeping it in motion and using the width of the Gabba really well. And we spoke to Jed Buse yesterday, didn't we, Whitey, and spoke about the way that they've gone about it. And the width is something they've really embraced, because, as you well know, down at GMHBA Stadium, there's not a hell of a lot of it.
No, it's not. It's very tight, isn't it? And that's probably why they need to be a little bit more controlled with their ball movement. But Jed Buse is actually one that's been starting a lot of that off half-back and just getting it and going. He's had an unbelievable year, Jed Buse. He really has set them up well. His foot skills is the best I've seen him use it throughout his career consistently. So he's one of those ones that is really important for the Cats. It's nearly Bash Ahuli as well as he goes in grand finals. We know that over the last 3 or 4 years. But it really is the impact of abuse versus a Bash Ahuli in some ways, and Tom Stewart coming off half back for the Cats, and who can have the biggest impact in that area versus Bash Ahuli and what he does for the Tigers has been significant. In terms of the ground, though, it really is interesting, because you look at what Richmond did choosing Metricon a couple of weeks ago, and whether Geelong sort of just have that in the back of their minds going, well, I'm not sure whether they really want to, you know, play
at
the Gabba. Yeah, and it's just I don't know. You look at the little mind games, the little mind wins that you can have throughout this period leading into a game that we're calling 50-50 because of it really is the unknown on who's going to take control of this contest. It probably will go right down to the wire, but just that little win maybe for the Cats going 5-0 now at the Gabba, beating Brisbane the way that they did on their home deck, it just sort of flows in their favour a little bit, I think, in terms of what Richmond decide to do in that second final.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that's why it's interesting, because Geelong have got that 5-0 record at the Gabba, but then Richmond have got the record of beating Geelong 5 of the last 6 times. So that might or might not counterbalance things out a bit, because clearly Geelong have got a real love of playing at the Gabba, and for Richmond to really push for that final to be played at Metricon makes me think that they're not as comfortable at the Gabba, even though they've got a good record at the Gabba because they'd beaten Brisbane all those years. I just found that was interesting that they had pushed to play that final at Metricon Stadium.
Well, that's been their training base, I suppose. So they've probably thought that they've done all their training there. So yeah. Why not? You know, we should push to have that final there, and that's a fair enough decision as well when we look at it closely. But oh, look, boys, I don't know whether that patch of turf from the MCG has landed on the Gabba yet, but that's probably the one thing that the Tigers are relying on, the fact there's a bit of the MCG that's made its way to the Gabba. I know we had a good laugh about it last week. I don't know whether they've put it in or not.
It's still in the fridge. It's still in the fridge.
The curators aren't putting that down, so I don't know. Maybe, you know, they're, we have a little bit of a laugh with that, but yeah, ultimately, I still think it's just in Geelong's favour this weekend's game.
So I'm going to ask to both of you this question. Obviously, Huff, we'll have another look at it tomorrow. But just with Dustin Martin and what to do with him, because it is interesting that most clubs just let Dustin do what Dustin does. It's almost like they don't seem to have an answer as to how to handle him. What does Geelong do? Do they just let him do what he's always done, or do they have to have a specific plan to try and counter him? Because the reality is, in finals, Dustin Martin goes to new levels. That's just what happens.
Yeah, that's it. I think if he plays up forward, they have got the type of player physically that can match Dustin, but it's just trying to stop him. It's very difficult to do. And you look at the midfield and you go, okay, well, if Richmond's midfield are going quite strong, then Dusty can spend a little bit more time forward. And it's the same with Geelong with Danger. And that's what we're looking at here, those comparisons with Danger as well. Because the last couple of weeks, Geelong's mids have gone really, really well. Duncan, Parfitt, Guthrie, they've really dominated the midfield for the Cats. So therefore, Danger can spend time forward because he doesn't have to go in there to control the game in the midfield. And it's the same with Richmond. Yes, Dusty will jump in there to find a bit of ball if he's not getting it forward, but ultimately, for those two players to have the impact forward of centre, which could determine the game, it comes down to the other collective within the midfields to see who can get on top. And if it is Geelong, Danger spends time forward, and then it makes the back six for Richmond so much more accountable. All of a sudden, Grimes might have to go, or Broad might have to go to Danger. You've got Bolter on Hawk, and someone's got to stop Gary Rowan, who can play in the air on the ground. Then you've got the smalls flowing. So all of a sudden, their structure of trying to get off to support in the air or back first is changed, because Danger and Gary Rowan and Hawkins, they'll make you come with them. You can't zone off that type of player with the way they position and the way they lead up with strength to draw their opponent with them. So that's critical as well, I think, in terms of the setup for them. I think Geelong would love Danger to spend more time forward this week just to engage the back six of the Tigers and make them more accountable, and maybe play a little bit differently to what they're used to.
Yeah, I reckon that's right, John. I reckon that's a good read from Geelong's perspective, that they would prefer to win the game. They're going to need Danger to play forward more. And they've got the guys to the middle of the ground that's been able to step up. Menegola's another one who's been fantastic on the wing with Duncan. I mean, Menegola and Duncan on the wing are a great combination. And nobody ever plays on Mitch Duncan. Like, he just does what the hell he likes as part of that Geelong makeup. So they're going to be really important as well. The Dusty situation's interesting, White. I reckon what we've learned through the last couple of years is when Dusty, if he gets a matchup he likes physically, he'll take him deep. And if he's not quite sure, he'll take him up into the scrum and then try and lose him on the way back through and hit him at ground level that way. So he's such a dynamic player with a license to to make the calls as he sees them clearly, and he's clearly very astute. He understands the matchups, Jono, week in, week out, at any given time during a game, and he tries to exploit that not only for his own advantage, but for the team's advantage. And I think his ability to understand his opponent is one of his great strengths and not perhaps too many people talk about. We talk about his presence and his physicality and his kicking and all that sort of stuff, which are no doubt elite. But his awareness of what the matchup looks like for him at any given time, I think, is probably undersold a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right there. Like if Colin Jasny goes through, for example, he might get up in congestion a little bit through stoppages, forward stoppages, to try and lose Colin Jasny that way. He's not as strong at that point of his game. And he identifies that very quickly. So you're right. His work around, you know, how to exploit his direct opponent is really important to the way that he plays his footy. And he's got the license to do that. So whatever matchup he gets when he is playing forward, he can go and position himself wherever he likes, and the others just have to fold in around that. And look, Tom Lynch will do what he has to do. Jack Riewoldt's an interesting watch, I think, this week as well, because Jack's been doing a lot of the team-based aspects, hasn't got a lot of ball himself in recent times. He's kicked a couple of goals here and there, but he seems to be doing a lot of more, you know, that tap-on sort of work. Even in marking contests, he's trying to tap it on and keep the ball flowing rather than going for the marks when he actually is in a reasonable position to probably mark the football at times. So interesting watch on Jack as well, and the type of impact that he can have for the Tigers, because he could be the one that could actually get off the chain a little bit if he positions himself well in this final.
And I think that sums up Richmond, doesn't it? The way that Jack plays almost sums up why Richmond are the team that they are. They've got guys who are fully understanding of what they need to do at any given time and that role they play. They don't need to all kick six goals. That's not how it works. They all need to play the role that the team, that everyone else around them knows is going to happen. Like, Jack's in a situation and everyone knows that he's not going to try and mark it amongst a pack of four anymore, because he'll just bring it to ground. That's his job, is to bring it to ground and let the crummers do their thing, or he'll be one of the pressure players coming out of the forward 50. I think that makes Richmond a great team, and that's why they have been so dominant, because no one's trying to be the king.
And Huff, just to emphasise that point, if you go back to last year's preliminary final, Jack didn't kick a goal, but Tom Lynch kicked five goals, but Jack played his role. Now, I know it was a bit of a wet night that night and all those sorts of things, but you could still kick goals as a forward, because Tom Lynch kicked five. But that's how it works. It doesn't matter who kicks them. It's just creating the right matchup to give them the best chance of kicking the winning score.
And that flipped in the grand final, didn't it, Jack? What did he kick, four or five last year in the grand final?
Five. Kicked five in the grand final.
Yeah.
So he can get his moments, guys, no doubt. But I still think, like, he seems to be just, you know, going to ground a little bit easy. He just seems to be playing for a free kick here and there. Jack Riewoldt's just got to attack the contest. He can set a tone, I think, for the Richmond Footy Club in the first 10 minutes of this game on Saturday night. No question whatsoever. And I think he needs to do that to bring that presence and growth from everyone around again. Yeah, he's doing all the nice things, and he is a team player, no doubt, Jack. But I think he can set a huge tone for the structure of the fans sitting at home going, we're on tonight, and Jack can set that.
So when they met in round 17, Jack actually kicked four goals and Tom Lynch kicked one. So I think the interesting thing for me from that is that in the last two times that Richmond and Geelong have played, either Jack or Tom have kicked a minimum of four goals. So there has to be, not so much an issue, but certainly a watch from a Geelong key defensive situation, that one of them has got off the leash in the last two games.
That's it. And then it comes down to the smalls. It's controlling the smalls then. If one kicks four, for example, and the other one doesn't touch it, it's what the rest do on ground level. We know how dangerous they are. Castagna, who no one really ever speaks about, always bobs up and has his three or four shots a game as well, you know. So there's so much to like about the way they do it. And I'd like to talk about Gary Ablett. I've just got a sneaky feeling that Gaz is going to kick four, finish on an absolute high with a premiership win and a Norm Smith medal. I don't know. I've just got a sneaky feeling that the best player that we've seen in a very long time, over a long period of time, is going to finish on a extreme high.
Well, it would be a great story.
My excitement about that, Huff? You just with that.
No, I'm just thinking when you were talking about it, because it's not something I give much attention to, I must admit, in the build-up to the game so far. And I know it was a conversation a bit after Saturday night when they beat but Geelong, they're talking about what might be for Garion on Sunday. But it's not something I've given too much attention to. But now that you bring it up, I mean, it's his record. I did go through it the other day just for something to do. It's actually ridiculous what he's been able to do, and not just at obviously the Cats, but even his record at the Suns, where things clearly didn't go well from a team perspective for him. But his ability to dominate not only that team, which is probably fair enough because it was a young team emerging and he was the superstar, but dominate the competition whilst having all the pressure of carrying that expectation is quite extraordinary. And then he's, you know, his individual accolades are fine, but I think for him to go out, for him to win a premiership on Saturday, Jono, might be the greatest achievement of all for Gary Ablett, to be a part of this. And after all this time, to come back and to win another flag for Geelong, with Geelong, I think might be his crowning glory.
Yeah, it'd be enormous. And it's sort of the, I don't know, nothing really goes to script at times like that in terms of the AFL world, but every now and then, the very best, it always ends well. And I've got that feeling for Gary Ablett. Look, he's in good form too at the moment. Look, we can't underestimate that. He's coming off the bench in the first quarter in the last two finals and had a huge say in the way the Cats are scoring. The opposition, you know, they're not putting as much time into a Gary Ablett, which is something that I'm sure Boomer Harvey would have liked at the end of his career.
Yes.
You know, the opposition kept going hard at Boomer. And for Gary, they just seem to be going, okay, he's getting the right matchup that suits him. And it's the same this weekend. It's, you know, the concern goes to, you know, Hawkins, Rowan or Dangerfield if they're forward. If Gary Ablett's floating around, his ball use inside forward 50 is unbelievable. His decision-making still as good as anyone in the game. So he mightn't be getting it as much, but he's having a huge effect on the outcome of the game and the scoring aspect for the Cats. And he's getting a lot of freedom to do it on, as you said, on the wide ground of the Gabba. He's finding the right holes to pop into, especially when the opposition run off and turn over. And there's Gary just popping into space, you know, on the way back through turnover. So they've got to be careful, the Tigers, with Gary Ablett.
Real sort of Blake Carousella areas for the Bombers, just popping up out of sprinklers, just out of nowhere. Yeah. It just pops up.
Well, we know what Blake used to do that at the Gabba, didn't we? And as well. So that is so true. You know, you look at who was else back in the day when they had a strong midfield, the Brisbane Lions. Des Headland used to just pop up everywhere as
Des,
well. You know, at the Gabba, and all of a sudden he's getting kicks left, right, and centre because of the way that the midfield were dominating. So Gary needs that. He needs their midfield to be completely on top. For him to have an impact in the game. But don't underestimate what the little champ will do this week.
No, good point. Hey, Jono, who's more nervous? Which team is more nervous going into this game? There's a fair bit of expectation clearly on both. It's a grand final, so everyone's nervous. But considering what happens if it goes pear-shaped, who's more anxious going into this game, do you reckon?
Probably the Cats are probably more anxious about it. Although both teams have got calm lists, and I like the way they've been going about it, I think the I think just the way that, you know, what Richmond have achieved over the last 4 years or so, that probably allows them to be a little bit more relaxed in this, where Geelong have bowed out in recent times. So finally, they've broken through that barrier.
Yep.
And now there is a huge expectation. So I think that adds to what you're talking about there, where this is just the norm for Richmond. They're used to this. They've got a group of players that, you know, have experienced this before, where the Cats have got plenty that haven't. And maybe the fact that, you know, they are away from Melbourne and the traditional build-up to a grand final, that might help settle the Cats a little bit and some of the players involved. It probably may feel just a bit more of a normal week rather than parades and everything else that usually comes with grand final week. You know, the 10,000 fans at training and all those sort of things aren't there this week. So that may settle a few down from a Geelong point of view that have never experienced a grand final before.
Because you talk about storylines, and the Ablett one is clearly one of those. The Danger one is another one. Like, he went to Geelong to win a premiership, and to this point in time, hasn't been able to achieve that. Now, that's not necessarily his fault, as we know. It's all timing and all that sort of stuff. But I just think that's sort of the one that I think, Jono and Whitey, that if it doesn't happen for Geelong this week, you know, does it ever happen for Danger? Does he get that chance again? It's clearly they're a pretty powerful force, and they've got draft picks coming out their ear holes, and Jeremy Cameron's coming into the team, and maybe Sean Higgins, and things are looking pretty good still, Jono. But still, getting back to the opportunity is still a challenge, as you well know.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if he didn't win last week, he would have jumped alongside me as five prelim losses, and he doesn't want that half. Trust me, he just does not want that record at all. So I'm glad the danger has been able to achieve the grand final. Now it is all about the win, of course. But you're right with the Cats. Like, I don't know whether this is their last chance. Yes, they may lose a couple of players over the next couple of years in terms of, you know, the age of the list they have, but what they could possibly still bring in keeps them in a pretty good sweet spot, I would have thought. Depends on what the demands are or what they have to give up on the way out with these trades as well. But that becomes an interesting watch for the Cats, because they do have some young talented midfielders that they may have to part ways with to maybe make a Jeremy Cameron trade work. But ultimately, it keeps him in a sweet spot. Higgins is in as good a player as anyone's got a good couple of years left, I think, in the game. And Jeremy Cameron, what a recruit that would be to add to their forward structure. So, yeah, it's I don't think it is the end for the Cats if they lose.
I think half that's what makes this grand final so special is that usually there's the almost like the champion team, and then there's the one that's a bit off the pace.
Yeah.
You don't usually get the best two teams of the home and away season, or the heavyweights, if you like, the experience to getting through. Like, even you look at the three premierships that Hawthorn won, they came up against three non-Victorian teams in those three grand finals. It wasn't seen necessarily as the heavyweight battle of the best two that have gone, you know, of the era. Whereas this one, if you look at who Richmond are and what they've done over the last few years, and then what Geelong have done over a decade, you kind of feel like neither of those two teams will be affected by the occasion, because they actually do know what it takes to win grand finals.
Well, you probably go
They're
back
always chasing
to,
history.
To St Kilda Geelong back in the turn of the decade, since the last time it's really happened, where you got the two real heavyweight powerhouses.
Yep, absolutely.
Coming up against each other. So that's the
Geelong
opportunity.
Collingwood, that's, probably.
Yeah,
at that.
Maybe. Yeah.
But the thing with Geelong even Collingwood then is that, I suppose Collingwood won in 2010, but, you know, Richmond's won three premierships, and there's a lot of Geelong players that have won three premierships. Well, not a lot, but there are a few star players that have won three premierships. So the occasion really shouldn't get to either of them. They're chasing history. You know, this is a situation where there are players that are going to become three- and four-time premiership players, potentially.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's about half a dozen become three-timers, and Joel Selwood will be a full-timer. If it all goes well for the boys in the Royal Blue. No, not the Royal Blue, the Navy Blue and White hoops down there at the Kattery. Righto, well, we've just lost Jono, unfortunately, from a technical perspective. So we're just going to get his tip, and that was going to be fantastic to finish it off. We're going to track him down to make sure that happens and get him on to finish that off, because that's what we need, a grand final week. We can't have a half an hour chat with Brad Johnson about all the ins and outs and the machinations of the game and not get a tip from him. So we've been able to get him back on the line. John, are you with us?
I'm with you, Harv. I've got you, mate.
Right, a slightly different line this one, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yes,
and we just what we need from you, Jono, just before you get too worried about the sunshine coming through that window again and burning that head of yours, is a tip and a Norm Smith medalist, please. That's all we pretty much need from you from now.
Oh, I think I've pumped the Cats up enough, and living down this way, Harv, it'll be awesome for the area to get the Cats up this weekend. So I'm going for the Catters, and I think we will see Gary Ablett win the Norm Smith medal.
Oh,
and I'm thinking he'll kick four and be the dominant force and the reason why the Cats win this game, which will be enormous for Gary to finish on an absolute high.
All right. Gary Ablett Jr., if you don't mind, kicking four in a grand final, five less than his dad when he won his Norm Smith, but still the Norm Smith medalist, which would round out the trophy cabinet absolutely magnificently. Jono, you're a star. We appreciate your company every Thursday on the Breakfast Club and look forward to catching up soon.
All right, good on you, boys. Enjoy the grand final.